In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This gospel of today, we read it in the second watch of the midnight hour. Every night, the church reminds us with the repentance of this woman, because her repentance was very strong, although her sins are many. And I like to focus on three things in her repentance: the sorrow, the love, and the deeds or the works of repentance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, St. Paul made a strong connection between godly sorrow and repentance. He said in verse 9, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance." Your sorrow led to repentance. "For you were made sorry in a godly manner." So there is sorrow of the world and sorrow of God. "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation not to be regretted." Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. This woman came and she washed actually the feet of the Lord with her tears, a symbol of the godly sorrow. So, what is the difference between the sorrow of the world and the sorrow that's from God? When I examine myself and I know all my sins, and my sins are in front of me, I will feel sorry for all these sins. But how would I know the sorrow that I have is from God, or it is the sorrow of the world that leads to death? Number one, the sorrow from God is initiated by the Holy Spirit, but the sorrow of the world is initiated by the ego. What do I mean? The Holy Spirit convicts us on sin, on righteousness, and on judgment, and make us sorrowful because of our sins. We are made sorry because we caused God to suffer on the cross. We put our sins on Him, as we say in the fraction, "Be sorrowful, my soul, for your sins, which caused your Redeemer to suffer all these pains." But the sorrow that's initiated by the ego is focusing on the person himself. How I committed this sin? I'm a Christian. I shouldn't lose my temper. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I shouldn't act it in this way. I am a clergyman. I shouldn't judge it in this way, etc. So I am sorrowful because I see myself as righteous, and I cannot accept that I fell in this weakness. It's focusing on the self, but the godly sorrow focus on God. To explain it more, if I asked a youth, for example, to go and hit his father or curse his father, he would tell me, "No, I cannot do it." If I asked him why, most of the time, the answer, it will be, I'm Christian, I cannot do this, it is wrong, it is not my principles, it is not my personality, how I can do this while I'm a Sunday school servant or a deacon, etc. All these answers focus on me. But the godly sorrow should be, the answer should be, because this will hurt my father. I cannot do it. This will hurt my father. It's a focus on the other, not on me. In the same way, the godly sorrow focus on God, not on me. Also, sorrow of the world leads to despair. I tried several times to get rid of this sin. I failed. There is no hope in me. God doesn't love me. God is angry with me. God is disappointed with me. I'm not worthy of his love. But the sorrow that's from God, as St. Paul said, leads to repentance, produces repentance. When I feel this sorrow in my heart, what I think about is how to rise again, relying on the grace of God to continue my journey with him. That's why godly sorrow, always, always, there is hope with it. Confidence in God's love, confidence in God's forgiveness. But the sorrow of the world, there is despair. The sorrow of the world actually makes the person more arrogant, because as I explained, it focuses on one's self. But the sorrow that's from God makes the person actually more humble. That's why in the Beatitude, the Lord after spoke, blessed are the poor in the spirit, those who discover their poverty in the spirit. Then he said, blessed are those who are mourning, for they should be comforted. So this discovery that I am very poor in my spirit, I have nothing good in me, will make me sorrowful, and God will comfort me. This sorrow will lead to two things. The third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So this sorrow will humble me, make me a humble person. And also, the fourth one, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, will make me hungry and thirsty for righteousness, repent and returning back to God. So this godly sorrow comes through prayer, through tuning my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, through walking in the fear of God. All of this actually will help the person to have the godly sorrow, not the sorrow of the world. The second point, as I told you, I will address 3 points, the sorrow, the love, and the deeds of repentance. Second point is love. When Simon judged the Lord gave him this parable that a creditor has 2 debtors, one owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50, and he forgive both of them. Who will love him more? And the logical answer, the person who was forgiven was more. The more the person realizes his sins, and the more the person realizes the forgiveness of God, the more he will love God. Many of us who suffer from self-righteousness, they don't feel the importance of forgiveness in their life because they don't feel they were forgiven more. Thank God, I am a good person. I follow the commands of God. I follow all the rules of the church. So I am not actually, or I don't feel how much my sins actually caused this suffering for God, and how much he paid on the cross. He paid his life on the cross to save me and to redeem me. So the more I feel I am forgiven, the more I will love God. Not only forgiveness, but acceptance. This lady was actually rejected from everyone and rejected from Simon himself, the Pharisee. But she was actually very sure that the Lord would accept her. So she went, although maybe everybody looked at her in a humbling way, but she didn't care about all of this. She cared about one point only, to be at the feet of the Lord and to show him her love. And she was very confident that he would accept her. Many of us, if we have tension with anybody in the church, the first thing we do is stop coming to the church. Or if somebody treats us in a way that I don't appreciate, then I will say I will not go to church anymore. But this woman, because she focused on God, she want her forgiveness. She want to express her love and her appreciation. If I am forgiven that much, this should be reflected. We love him because he loved us. He accepted us. He forgave us. This love actually is a reaction. Our love to God is a reaction to his love toward us. The more we reflect on how much he loved us, the more we realize that he loved us to the end. There is no greater love than his love toward us. One time they brought to the Lord a paralytic man to heal him. And instead of healing him, the Lord told him, "Your sins are forgiven." So the people were not happy. "We brought this man to be healed. He just told him, your sins are forgiven you." So the Lord told them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But usually we are looking for the material, the physical, health, miracle to be healed. But if you compare between the two gifts, the more precious gift is the forgiveness of sins. It's more precious than healing, than success, than prosperity, than any material request we have. Because this person, after he was healed, he lived so many years and died after this. But with the forgiveness of his sins, after he died, he went to the paradise and he will live eternally with God. Also, to say to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed and walk, did not cost God anything. But to tell him your sins are forgiven, it cost him death on the cross. He emptied himself. He became in the form of a man. He endured suffering unto death, the death of the cross. All of this for us to hear that your sins are forgiven. Many times we come here just to have a list of materialistic requests from God. And we forget the most important request, which is the forgiveness of sins. Through the hymn, the intercessions, the Hiteni, why we repeat that he may forgive us our sins? Because this is the most needed request for all of us in order to inherit the kingdom of God, in order to inherit the eternal life. And the more we realize the value of this forgiveness, the more actually we will love him. As St. Peter said, you were purchased not with gold or silver or precious stones, but with blood of innocent lamb, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third point is the deeds of repentance. As John the Baptist, when many people came to be baptized by him, the baptism of repentance. So he asked them a very important question. Offer deeds that are befitting your repentance. Very easy for anyone to say, I repent. But you need to show your repentance in deeds, in works. This woman actually bought a very costly perfume. And actually she poured it on the feet of the Lord. This means she poured all her life. Because if this perfume is for 300 denarii, and 300 denarii is the wage of a person in 1 year, because the wage of a person in 1 day is 1 denarii. So like in our contemporary money, this equal maybe $20,000 or $25,000. So she bought this perfume and poured it on the feet of the Lord. A life of sacrifice. Love actually is manifested in sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross. So the deeds of repentance should appear in offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, as St. Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice in prayer, in fasting, in worship. Also, good deeds and the fruits of the Spirit. This woman endured the criticism of Simon. This woman endured all these looks from the guests at the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a person who actually repenting will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. And one of the fruit is long suffering. The ability to suffer for a long time, the ability to endure, the ability to forgive. So this woman actually showed that her repentance is true through her deeds and through her actions. In the same way, When we examine ourselves and our repentance, we should ask ourselves, what are the deeds that actually show my true repentance? If I don't have deeds to show my true repentance, then is my repentance just by my mouth, or my repentance is a true one from my heart? As John the Baptist again said, show deeds that are befitting repentance. Just I want to mention one point. It's not mentioned that this perfume is 300 denarii, but with a comparison with the other two stories in the Bible, that's why I used the number 300 denarii. May the Lord help all of us to follow the steps of this woman in her repentance, in developing godly sorrow, in realizing the value of the forgiveness, so this realization will turn into love toward God, unconditional, limitless love, and also help us to turn our repentance into good deeds and be filled with the Holy Spirit in our life, with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.